that's wonderful, isn't it? We are special because we have a great God. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. It's a joy to be back at Worth Baptist Church. My, time flies when you're having fun. Amen. We do appreciate the support that you send our way. It has been such a help to us. But most of all, your prayers, my. Dr. Barber calls me once in a while and says, I'm praying for you. And then he prays for me. Amen. Certainly love that and appreciate that so much. And then when I came to town, it was 2007. And Dr. Weaver was pastor here, and we became good friends. And I got to teach a Sunday school class today, so that was a joy. Thank you, Pastor, for that one. And then I met your pastor. He came as a youth pastor. What, you were a youth pastor 8 years, pastoring for 6 years. I'm getting old. It's a terrible thing. But I am so grateful for Worth Baptist Church and the influence that this ministry is having in the world. Not all churches can say that. And I want to speak this morning on the stewardship of the local church. And I want to speak to the Worth Baptist Church. How good of a steward are you in the great work of the local New Testament church? Some are spectators. Some are participants. It's interesting, you can always tell the skeptics. Can't tell them much, but you can always, because when you have a work day, for instance, these people show up to work, and the other crowd comes around and says, well, did they do it right? I thank the Lord for people that are willing to serve. Amen. And we do have a great Bible, the Word of God, our final authority for faith and practice. Everything hinges on this book. You want to know what God has to say? It's right here. I'd like to give you some characteristics of true stewardship in the church. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, at verse 42, we find the first church established by our Savior. Jesus is the head of the church. He said, the gates, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Man, that's a victory before you even get started. That God is intricately involved in our lives to help us to accomplish what He wants in His church. And there are 8 things that I'm going to give you that reveal the true character of a church. Now, I've been to a lot of churches. And Worth Baptist Church, I believe, has the best missions conference I've ever been a part of. And that's saying a lot. And I love to see how concerned you are about those that you have grown to love that literally are going around the world. It couldn't happen without churches like this. I want you to notice in verse 42, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. I like that, don't you? All that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possession and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. Oh, I love to praise the Lord. One of the names of Jesus I use often is the word wonderful. Amen. He's wonderful. Praise God, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Our Heavenly Father, words
mean nothing unless they touch the heart. And you know the heart of each one that's here. Some may be lost in need of a Savior. Some may be cold toward spiritual things. Oh God, encourage them today. Give us an appetite to really serve you in our local church with great joy. Oh God, do something here at Worth that has never been seen before in this church. God, take them to great heights. May they walk and talk with you and live for you on earth as you would have them live. And may the character of the church that Jesus started carry on throughout the days till your coming. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, the first area of stewardship that must take place is the church must be a preaching congregation. Would you write these main points down? Write them down. A preaching congregation. Now, you've heard preaching. There's no doubt about it. Probably some of the best preachers that have ever lived on the face of this earth have preached behind this pulpit. You've been blessed to come and hear the word of God. But our preaching is not just here. This is where it starts. Every message is preached with a decision that needs to be made. And every time you hear a message, you ought to take it personally and say, God, help me to preach like you would have me preach. We have public opportunities to proclaim. You've heard the saying, preach it, brother, and share it, sister. Boy, I'll tell you, some of these sisters can really share it. My wife even once in a while shares things with me. You could have said this, or why didn't you say that? Some of my best messages have been preached by my wife. She never said a word, but the message got out, amen. We are to be sharers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to proclaim the message. It's not just to be here. We go on far beyond the four walls of this church and we proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. We say it by saying, when somebody says to you, how you doing? You say, oh, I'm so glad I'm saved and on my way to heaven. How about you? You just preached. And as God gives opportunity, you can be one to bring people to the place where they want to come here. How about that? I think they said 87% of all the people that come to church come from your witness. How about that? Oh, we must be a preaching congregation. The Bible says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and great numbers believed and turned unto the Lord. Do you see it? People can turn to the Lord without even coming to this place. But you know what happens when they turn to the Lord? They want to come to this place. We don't have to go to church, do we? We get to go to church. And what a thrill it is to be able to preach and proclaim the message of Christ that others may hear and that they might understand and come and get saved and follow the Lord in believers' baptism, become a member and become dedicated to the great cause of this congregation and the cause that God has given to us. Number two, the second thing I want you to write down is a people of faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. For him that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, the Bible says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We need people of faith. Believing God to build a class. Believing God to reach a family. Believing God to fill up a pew. You know, if everybody in here said, I am going to fill up that pew right over there. It's empty this morning. I'm going to take time to fill that pew. You could do it. You could do it. This place could be so full that you'd have to be setting chairs up. Amen? Why not? Why not? In this metroplex, we've got so many people. I've had four families move in just around me where I live. Yeah. Californians. This one guy said, I said, where are you from? He goes, I'm from California. I said, oh. He said, don't hold it against me. He said, I was born in Richardson and my wife was born in Midland. I said, you just came home. Amen. I've invited him to church. I pray that he comes. Amen. People of faith, believe God can use you. Quit waiting for somebody else to be used of God. Why don't you make a commitment this morning? I want to be a man, a woman, boy, and girl of faith. Number two. Number three, a people of prayer. They say you can go much faster on your knees than you can ever go on your feet. Every exercise with the feet ought to be bathed with the knee. We pray. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. When it was just a few of them, they knew it was important for them to pray in one accord. Can we pray in one accord at Worth Baptist Church? Can everybody here agree to pray about the ministries of this church and do everything you can to be a part of whatever ministry God would have you to get into? They say that if a person comes to a church and they aren't used within 6 months, they'll leave and say, that church doesn't need me. Oh, we need you. God needs you. The only way that God can get his work done is by his people. And his people are the ones that make it happen. And what a thrill it is to see God use us. It's not us, but it's God working through us to use us because we prayed. In Acts chapter 6, verse 4, it says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer. Get a prayer list. Write down all the lost people you know that need to be saved and pray for them until they get saved. Amen. Oh, we've got to do this. My wife has been praying for her brother, and he just passed away on last Wednesday. But on Tuesday, my wife was able to get on the phone with him and take him through the plan of salvation. And he couldn't hardly talk, but he shook his head. And he asked the Lord to save him. Now, we don't know exactly the details of it, so my wife was a little concerned. Did he really get saved? So she said to her sister-in-law the next day, did Mark really mean it when he was shaking his head? She goes, oh, yeah, he did that yesterday. Yeah, he's the Lord's going to take care of him. And I thought, wow, the nick of time. Some of you have loved ones right now. If something doesn't happen, they could end up in hell. We must go to God and beg God to save. My wife was weeping. She's been weeping recently once he got really bad. Oh, God. And in the nick of time, I believe God came through. Oh, he'd been witnessed to, but he rejected it. When you get ready to die, all of a sudden there's an interest there. Oh, may we be men and women of prayer, believing God for great things. Number four, a fellowshipping people. Do you enjoy fellowshipping with the folks here? We have some people that only come when we're serving food, okay? They find out. I'm not sure how they find out, but they'll be here. If there's a meal being prepared and they'll even want to take something home with them. Amen. They need the Lord, don't they? We had one man that came to church only when we were serving food, and his wife wanted him to get saved. He said to me, "Pastor, if you ever need tracks, my wife gives me one every meal." And he's down at the hospital. He's about ready to die. His lungs are filling up with fluid and everything, and he's about ready to die. And so Virginia said, "Pastor, you go in and talk to him, and I'll wait in the lobby for a few minutes, and then I'll come up." I said, "Okay." So, and I know what she was doing. She wanted me to talk to her hubby about getting saved again. I know that's what she did. I walked in there, and he had a tube in his nose, and he said, "Pastor." And I said, "What?" He said, "I did it." I said, "You did what?" He said, I asked Jesus to be my Savior." Woo! I had to go get Virginia, if you know what I mean. And I mean, she did the spiritual dance around his bed. She could hardly contain herself. She was so happy. Why? Because she prayed. And she lived by faith, and she trusted God. And she tried to get her hubby involved in fellowship. One time he called me. He said, "Pastor, could you wash and wax my Cadillac Coupe de Ville?" I'd never done that for a church member. He wasn't even a church member. How dare he ask me to do that? He said, "I'll pay you for it." I said, "Come on." So he came over to my house, and he's sitting in my rocking chair, and I'm washing and waxing his car and just preaching to him. I said, "I'm going to get paid to preach is what I'm going to get paid to do." And later, he got saved just before he went out. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, we better get in the fellowship of reaching people for Christ. We call that soul winning and visitation, don't we? We call that sharing the gospel and getting the gospel out there. Oh, it's wonderful to fellowship in the church, and we must do that. We continue in fellowship, prayer, that God might give us some spiritual victories. Then number five, they were a soul-winning people. They really cared about souls. They literally believed that their responsibility to God was to make sure that the lost know the truth of Jesus Christ. You could get on Facebook Live and give your testimony on how Jesus wondrously saved you. Somebody might bow their head when you pray at the end and get saved. Think about the opportunities that we have. We must be soul-winning people. It was said of Barnabas in the book of Acts chapter 11, verse 24. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Did you hear that? Much people. Think about it. Every person you lead to Christ, if they do what God wants them to do, they'll lead someone to Christ. You've heard about marketing, where you multi-level marketing. Well, God had that plan way before it ever came out. You lead someone to Christ, that person leads someone. And before you know it, that's the plan for God to reach the world. God doesn't have a second-rate plan. He's got second-rate Christians. Oh, that the church might arise and be soul-winning and reaching people, because somebody reached you. It was my dad that reached me. He said to me one day, I'm a 14-year-old preacher son, and my dad just said to me, "Daniel, I've never seen any indication that you're really saved." I thought, I haven't seen any either. And he left the house, and I got my Bible, and I led myself to Christ. Yeah, I've not gotten over it. And oh, the joy of reaching people for Christ. I led a 13-year-old boy, a Christian Science, not, I, no, yeah, it was a Christian Seventh-day Adventist boy to the Lord in a Baptist Christian school in Connecticut. Exciting. God wants us to see people saved. And you can lead someone to Christ. You can take the Bible and show them how to do it. Number six, they were a people called Christians. Boy, that's a beautiful name. Every once in a while, I'll meet a person whose name is Christian. I say, "Are you one?" Let me tell you about Christ. Let me tell you about your name. Amen. You see, when they were first called Christians at Antioch, it wasn't in, you're such a good Christian. No, they said, those Christians, hate them. Do you know people are hated today that are Christians? Just get out there and start telling about what you believe and what you believe the Bible teaches, and all of a sudden you'll find out that you're going to get persecuted. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. How much persecution are you suffering? I'd get nervous if I worked with a bunch of people and said, everybody loves me. It's like the little boy, that young teenage boy is graduating from high school, and he went to work at a logging camp. His dad said to him, now, son, talk to the other men up there about the Lord and take a stand for Christ, you know, like a father would do. When he picked him up at the end of the summer, he got in the car and he said, well, son, how'd you do? Did you get to talk to anybody? He said, you know something? I went all summer and not one person found out I was a Christian. I wonder how many people know you are. If Christ is such a great name to be called by, why don't we want to be called by it? Ask God to help you to be a witness and a testimony for the cause of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's so important. Number 7. They were a giving church, a giving people. A church can only give what the people give. The determination of how great this ministry is to reach the world is held in your hands. We are responsible to give. We give a tithe, a tenth of our income. We give an offering, a free will offering, the Bible tells us in Ezra. Something that we don't have to give, but man, we just want to give it. Yeah. Then you've got taxes you got to deal with. Ew. Sorry, I messed up your Lord's Day. But you got to take care of those things. We're required to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's. Amen. Then we have the responsibility to take care of our family. And then we need to get rid of our debt and set up debt retirement. That's God's plan, in a nutshell. That's God's plan for your finances. And giving people are people that God looks and goes, I can really use them. It's amazing what God can do. There was a young man that wanted to be a missionary. He was a faithful church member. His mom and dad loved the Lord. He had some sisters. But about the time that he was getting ready to go off into missions, his father got sick. He felt like, I need to stay here and help my father. The father died. The mother got sick, and he felt like he couldn't go. He took care of his mother. He ended up taking care of his sisters also. Never got to the mission field. But he built a business. And he said, God, I want you to use my finances to where around this world something's being done every hour that I can say, God, help me to do. Somebody asked him, how many hours do you sleep a night? He said, I never sleep. 24 hours, God's using me to reach people with the gospel. And he did it from his pocketbook. He did it from his income. He put God first and supported missionaries and helped projects and did a great work to where the sun never went down on his ministry right from his home. I want to tell you something, folks. We are so blessed in America. We could do far more than we would ever imagine if we would just say, Lord, you tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. God never shorts his people. My dad used to say, he said, you give God a tablespoon, and he'll give you a coal shovel full. Some of you have already experienced that here. Some of you haven't yet. You've got to step out by faith to trust God to do what he tells you to do, and then do it. That's where the blessing comes. Every lady that comes into that ministry, Embracing Grace, leaves different. You can touch people by your knowing God. It was D.L. Moody, I believe it was, or Ira Sankey, I can't remember which, put his hand on that little boy, that little Jewish boy's head, said, oh God, use this boy. And that boy became a great preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What could God do through your children? Through your children. My mom and dad were very committed to the cause of Christ, started 5 churches, 5 Christian schools, raised 5 boys to serve the Lord. God gave them 16 grandchildren. 10 of the 16 are in full-time Christian service. That doesn't happen by accident. That's people getting serious about their giving. My dad never complained about the difficulties in ministry and the trials and tribulations that came his way. He never gave me a reason to not want to serve the Lord. What a great God we have. Amen? Be giving. And then number 8. A spirit-filled sending church. Worth Baptist Church is a sending church. How many of you know that already? I don't know how many sending missionaries that you have here. 17. That's awesome. I go to a lot of churches, and I've been in churches where the pastor's way beyond retirement. And he really is trying to find somebody to take his church. The church is dying. He's wore out. Either he stayed too long or left too early is what the case might be. I get calls from preachers needing someone to take their place. I think those people ought to reach somebody for Christ. Amen. Don't we believe in discipling? Don't we believe in challenging our youth, our young people, to surrender to the Lord? Amen. I had a layman come up to me in a church one time and said to me, Brother Knickerbocker, I don't want to put my kid in the ministry. Well, first of all, you don't put your kid in the ministry. So he was off base right off. I said, well, why would that be? He goes, there's no money in it. Uh-huh. Lord, what in the world do you want me to tell him? I paused for a moment and then I said, would you rather your child work for an ungodly employer or work for God? He looked at me and he just walked away. I've been working for God for 45 years. He's never let me down. Oh, people have let me down. I've let myself down. My wife's never let me down. She's right up there really near God, amen? Huh? Folks, serving God is the greatest privilege anybody could ever have. You young people that are here today, say, Lord, would you like me to do something for you? I think he's going to have an answer. And the sooner you get started, the better off it's going to be. All these people trying to get jobs, jumping from job to job and career to career to find happiness. There's happiness in serving Jesus. Amen. And oh, I want to tell you something. Worth Baptist Church is a sending church. But it won't be if nobody else surrenders. So we're praying. We're praying to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers to Worth Baptist Church. And that the stewardship of the local New Testament church will be accomplished right here in every one of these areas until Jesus comes for us. Let's bow together in prayer while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I first want to address you if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior. You may be here, maybe someone invited you. Maybe you just found out about it through the internet, but you're here today. And you'd say, you know, Brother Knickerbocker, when your dad said to you, I've never seen any indication that you're saved, I got thinking, maybe I'm not. Jesus wants to save you today. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation in a few moments. But I want to encourage anyone here that's not saved to come and trust Jesus as your Savior. Someone will be here to meet you and help you to go through that. It just takes a few minutes. If you're ready to meet the Lord, he'll meet you right there. Maybe you're saved, and you're not a member here, but God's dealing with you about it. Come and join. Come and talk to the pastor about it. He'll be down here at the front if you would like to join. Maybe you need to get baptized. You've been saved, but you weren't baptized. Come and get baptized. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. How many of you would like to have all of those 8 characteristics in your life? Oh, God, help us. If there was any area that I spoke about today, any of those 8 things that you'd say, I need number 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 2 or 1, why don't you come? Embrace this altar and say, oh God, I want to really be a Christian that's a good steward in my local church. Let's all stand together.